Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service or price means something to you, no surprise whatsoever to this veteran campaigner, it means everything to them. It is Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Baseball Hall of Fame today. Randy Johnson, 97%. Pedro Martinez, 91%. John Smoltz, 82%. Greg Biggio, 81%. Once again, not making the Hall, Jerome Bettis.
I don't think he was eligible for this one.
He didn't make this one either.
Well, at least he's consistent. By the way, what you said, Randy Johnson was what, one was 97?
Yes, second highest ever, 98.24, I think, is Tom Seaver.
That is only 3 mile an hour under his average fastball speed.
Well, these four deserved it. Randy Johnson, the consummate power pitcher of his era. The big unit started with Montreal, was traded to Seattle, where he had great years, then eventually to Houston, of course, a little bit with the Yankees, too, but was the power pitcher of his era and, of course, was the co-MVP of the 2001 World Series with the Arizona Diamondbacks when he teamed up with Curt Schilling. And dynamic, just the power pitcher of the era, without question. Pedro Martinez. I thought Tim Kirchen, they asked him, he said, what do you think of Pedro Martinez? He said, well, in his era, he had the best fastball, the best curveball, and the best changeup all in one guy. Interesting endorsement. The best at all. And he was, in his prime, he was unbelievable. John Smoltz. A lot like Dennis Eckersley in that he was a great starting pitcher for the vast majority of his career and then became an outstanding closer. Eckersley had been a great starting pitcher with the Indians and the Red Sox, and then with the A's, he was the best reliever in the game. Well, John Smoltz was a great starting pitcher, power pitcher with the Braves, and then became their bullpen stopper, their ace, and was outstanding. Craig Biggio, over 3,000 hits. He started his career as a catcher. He then became a second baseman. He was a decent catcher, a very good second baseman, and the consummate hitter, a professional pros pro hitter. And all four deserved election into the Hall of Fame. And Biggio should have had it last year, but he missed by 2 votes. Mike Piazza is the one that was closest to the cut line at 69%. You need 75% to get in. And then it went to Tim Raines, who had 55%. You're wondering about Bonds. He was at 39%, I believe.
36.8, actually.
And Clemens was at 37. Clemens actually did better.
37.5, yep. Schilling was 39.2.
11-2 in the postseason, very difficult to argue with. Very difficult to argue with that number. 11-2. Yes.
But you know what the one issue is.
With who? With Schilling?
Mm-hmm. And Royce.
Never had heard it. Never had heard it. Never once.
It was the one that I thought had him talking about the Red Sox urged him to use PEDs, and then there was a question of whether he did or didn't. Maybe I missed it. I thought that's what I remember reading.
To my knowledge, I don't think I've never heard that. All I know is that when it was October, in his era, no one was better. I mean, better than Randy Johnson, better than, you know, and Smoltz was very good, but better than Pedro, better than, I mean, when October rolled around, he was the best of the group.
Yeah, I think there was it was about a year ago, Sporting News had an article that Schilling was talking about the Red Sox urging him to use PEDs. Now, they didn't say he did use them, but
I can't imagine a club urging you to use PEDs unless you're being prescribed for an injury. I mean, I can't imagine a club telling you to do that.
Here it is. At the end of my career in 08, when I had gotten hurt, there was a conversation that I was involved in, which brought to my attention that this is a potential path I may want to pursue.
Well, he didn't, so.
No, I'm not saying there was anything there. I'm just saying that I just wonder if that had anything to do with it, that conversation or that comment.
I doubt it. I think after a while you start looking for too many things.
Well, we know that's that's the Bonds issue for sure.
Yeah, but Bonds issue is that it's real.
Well, that's true, but Bonds also, I felt, and I've always felt, had the numbers before the question mark comes in. How's that? Let me put it that way.
They don't want him in. This is the biggest class, by the way, since the DiMaggio class. It's the last time four were elected.
Also, Mussina picked up 24.6.
It's a long road.
Yeah, that's an uphill climb. He's still on the ballot, though.
I know he's still on the ballot, but it's a long road. To me, he's Hall worthy. I could easily vote for Mike Mussina for the Hall of Fame. Easily. But... because, look, I don't mind if 10 guys get in. I mean, Tim Raines is Hall worthy. Schilling's Hall worthy. Mussina's Hall worthy. And Mussina went to the... I mean, to me, one of the things is, for example, guy comes to the plate. Does everybody in the park fear him? Yeah. If a guy goes to the mound, you're like, oh, boy. This guy, look who they got out there today. To me, those are the things that swing my mind. Okay, when Biggio came to the plate, it's like, oh, great, here he's going to get another hit. Piazza came to the plate. Oh, boy, here we go. He's going to drive one. Raines, don't let him get on base. You know, he'll not only get hits, but he'll turn a walk into a double. He'll turn a single. See, he'll turn a single and double, a double into a triple, whatever. All right. Okay, Mussina got the ball. Oh, great. This is going to be, you're going to have to fight your guts out all afternoon against this guy. Schilling gets the ball. You're going to have to fight. To me, those are the things. It's the guys who are like, oh, yeah, you got the ball. I'm not that worried.
McGuire got 10%. Sosa got 6.6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Noma only got 5.5.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday Night Live not helping him. Don Mattingly will no longer be on the ballot because he's now gotten past his 15th chance.
Yeah, I understand. And it shows how tough it is. I mean, he was obviously a great player. They're both really good players in their era. Were they the best player in their era? No, I mean, look. I mean, Nomar was in the era of Ripken, of Jeter, of A-Rod. And he also had a rather abrupt end to his career. Once things went down, it went down. It wasn't like he took that career and he stretched it to 15, 16 years. You know what I mean? He had a really good run for about 8 years or so.
What do you think it is with Schilling, going back to Schilling, that he's not getting enough votes? I mean, you talk about a guy with money on the table. I mean,
not enough regular season wins. What does he got? 239, 238?
Yeah, I'd have to look it up. I don't have the number in front of me.
I'm going to say 238 is his number in his career. But you can tell me. You can look it up. And I think that will be what people will say. Not enough regular season wins.
Let's see.
I think he has 238 wins, and he also has a pack of losses. He's probably got a year 200 losses.
216 and 146 in 20 years.
216 and one. Okay, 216 and one. When 166.
What 146 is what I saw.
140. 216 to them is going to be a low number, but again, you know, we're not as smart as the voters are.
That's right. So. I learned that over the years.
College football playoff announced today that subject to NCAA rules, it will defray the cost of expenses for student-athletes, parents, or guardians to travel to the inaugural college football playoff national championship on Monday. The reimbursement will cover the expenses for hotel accommodations in North Texas, most likely Lubbock, and travel reimbursement and meal expenses for a maximum of two parents or legal guardians per athlete. The reimbursement will be capped at $1,250 per parent or guardian. They know how expensive travel can be, so we're pleased to provide this. They should. They're also going to do this for the Final Four for men's and women's basketball.
Do they get a jersey, though? Do they get to wear their son's jersey?
Well, the gift shop's open, so I'm sure you're okay. All right. Well, part of this is that when you sit there and you make a playoff... And, of course, college basketball has had a playoff for a long, long time. In fact, the first ever NCAA championship game in basketball was Oregon against Ohio State. Did you know that?
If I did, I didn't recall it. How's that?
Yes, 1939 at Northwestern. Oregon played Ohio State in the first ever college basketball national championship. Now in the first ever college football playoff, it's Oregon against Ohio State. Oregon, by the way, won the game. And when you get there, as a parent, what do you do? You know, in the NCAA tournament, do you go to the opening round? Do you go, do you roll the dice and go to, and then go to the next round? And then they get the Final Four. Do you roll the dice? Your son or daughter is in the Final Four. You feel like you have to go. Well, over 3 weekends, that becomes a rather expensive proposition. Same thing with the college football playoff. It used to be, okay, fine. They're going to go to a bowl game. We've saved our money. We're going to go to the bowl game. Where are they going? Okay, they're going to go to New York. They're going to go to San Diego. They're going to go to Orlando. Whatever. Pasadena. But now with the playoff, you win. There's that extra layer. Now it's like, well, geez, we just went to the semifinals. What do we have to go to the final? This helps defray that cost for the parents or the legal guardians. That's fine. They're raking in so much money from this. And the TV ratings are so great out of it. It's just going to keep on getting better. It's going to keep on getting better. So, this is one of those things where I'm completely with them on that.
It seems like the most sense there. I can't understand why it wouldn't be done that way.
I don't know if they want their, I'm sure they can buy their kids' jersey if they want. I mean, for example, it's not like, for example, you go out and you buy the jersey of a professional athlete and then his career goes down the drain and he signs with somebody else at the end. Now what do you do?
I have no idea. That's never happened to me.
Or they keep falling short of the Hall of Fame.
Again, never happened. It's sad that I can't relate to what you're saying.
Yeah. Next half hour, Ben Jones, staycollege.com. We'll talk about Penn State's game with Michigan coming up tonight, as well as Big Ten basketball. Talk to Kevin Kugler today. Kevin, by the way, he's going to do the game on BTN tonight. And Kevin's on a roll. He had the Steelers game on Sunday night. And
do you do the game on radio?
Yeah, on Westwood.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And then he's got the Seattle game on Sunday night this week. And he does not know which one of the two conference championships he has. You want to talk? We've had Kevin on the show. What have we had Kevin on the show? 3-4 times?
Yeah, I would say so.
He's one of the truly, bright, young, outstanding broadcasters going. This guy, top shelf. You know what's really cool about him? No ego. Zero. None. So,
Although they've got a little issue tonight on BTN. Steven Bardo can't get in from Philadelphia to State College. And I said, well...
Hang on, I got to go.
I said, Dick Girardi would be a great choice. I said, he would do a great job for you. And so... So then Kugler started kidding around with me. He says, you know, I'd be taking your analyst. I said, well, my goodness. I said, big network boy. He says, that's true. He says, I'd also like to have my meals brought to me. And I said, and you mind if we bring your car around with the driver? Yeah. And the two of us were having a lot because Kevin, as I said, Kevin has no ego. And we were laughing, like a couple of idiots over at Shoot Around.
You know, it's been a while since I heard Jeff Tarman do some commentary on the broadcast.
And it will continue to be that way. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. We'll have Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, on in the next half hour to talk some college basketball and Penn State football as well. College football playoff, right direction on that. Giving the parents or guardians, obviously, a free trip to the championship game. Look, it's they deserve to be there. They've put enough of their own lives into it.
There was a sponsor also that put a lot of money into student tickets. Are they doing that again for the championship game?
Yes, they are. Yeah, Taco Bell. Taco Bell. Yo quiero Taco Bell. And also
the
Hall of Fame. Yes. And the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, Craig Biggio, but once again, no Jerome Bettis. Yet, apparently, he got closer in this one than he did in the other one. No comment from you?
No. Bob from Mifflinburg on the line, though, to chat with you, Steve.
Bob, how are you today? Hopefully, you're not as bitter
Steve,
as the co-host.
Wonderful. What a wonderful show you got, as usual.
Thank you, Bob.
Being updated. Say, now that we have a Division I 14 playoff system to determine a champion, Coach Joe Paterno advocated a playoff system for many, many years. And as you discussed earlier, the popularity, the money's coming in and everything. Since the popularity of this year's event is so doing so well. Do you think that the powers to be will intervene and or find it time to fine tune it to have 8 teams participate in the playoff system, with the bowl games and so forth? Coach Paterno, he dearly advocated this. What is your thought on this?
I think at some point they are going to do it. I don't know if they'll do it initially, but I think at some point they will. They were constantly tweaking the BCS.
Right.
And after TCU got knocked out this year, which you knew the fifth team would. Now, they ended up sixth, I believe.
Right.
And Baylor was fifth. You know there's going to be a call for an 8-team playoff. Here's the rub I have with it at the moment, Bob. That, when do you play that?
Well,
do you play it before Christmas and then come back New Year's and then you play it on this Monday again, or do you play it on New Year's then come back a week later? And how long do you extend the season? I think that is there.
Right. Well, the plethora of bowl games we had, what, starting the 21st or 22nd of December?
It almost, yeah, 20th.
20th. Okay, it's kind of seems like it's a good fit for some of those the bowl games to change the dates of the bowl games. Instead of having the Brown Suspender Bowl game, put one of the Division One Peach Bowl, Citrus Bowl, whatever, out back, etc., in the playoff system. I agree with what you say. It's going to be tough, but it's doable.
Oh, I agree with you. It's doable, and I think your plan makes a lot of sense. Take that opening Saturday before Christmas and play it.
Right.
Sounds fun to me.
Well, sounds like good too. And I enjoy your show, and you guys keep it up and have a good time at the game tonight.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate the call and for listening. All right, next half hour, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, and then more of your calls. Today's show brought to you by Crosser Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. From the Sunbury Motor Studio. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The Kevin Hurd Clam Bank rolls on.
Bring your own clams.
And that lets you know it really is the Kevin Hurd Clam Bank.
Or you could just bring me some. That works, too.
Heaven forbid it be one of those where everybody just showed up and had a good time at Kevin's expense.
We have a good time at my expense every day from 3 to 5.
We refer to Kevin Hurd going to his wallet as Moth Fest 2015.
You're right. I told you the story last year. A friend of mine that was working one
That's
of the
gates. That's a good one. Thank you. All right.
Okay. A friend of mine that was working one of the gates as I'm ready to get into an athletic event said, "When was the last time you paid to get an athletic event?" I said, "Do I have to this time?" No. I said, "It's been about 20 years, but I'll be more than happy to do it now because I'm spectating."
You're just the worst. Life is one big freebie to you.
And your point is what?
I speak for the entire valley. Again, they love you.
I said, when was the last time? I don't know. I said, I don't know. It's probably been about 20 years, to be honest.
Unbelievable. All right, let's bring in Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Ben covered the Rutgers game on Saturday night, and that was not easy.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for having me. It was one of those trips where you're driving down through all that snow and ice, going, gosh, I sure hope we get a game out of all of this. And I think we both agree that maybe that was not the best display of basketball that we've ever seen, but certainly every game is interesting, and that one was no different.
Yeah, it was. Let's get to a couple things. Number one, defensively, they played well enough to win the game. You give up 50 points and 4 baskets in the second half. That's good enough. The one area that wasn't good enough, though, is they gave up too many offensive rebounds. Agreed?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, especially in the end there. There were a couple offensive boards that ended up coming back to really hurt Penn State. The stats sort of went fairly even on the boards, but, I mean, you give up those kinds of ones, and it doesn't really matter how you did in the first half. All that really matters is what you're doing when you've got the ball. You've got to squeeze it, and that really didn't happen for them. And defensively, you know, Penn State played as well as they played all year, which is you know, good defense from the perimeter and even better defense from, you know.
Offensively. And also yesterday, the press conference for the players and for Patrick Chambers, what were their thoughts and their read as to how it played out offensively? Is it just one of those nights, like Indiana had one of those nights last night?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a lot of it. I think you see, you know, Penn State shot a lot of threes, which they're better at shooting threes than they have been in the past, but they weren't falling for them. They were settling for those. And, you know, shooting is contagious. You see teams that will get hot altogether, and you can see teams like Penn State got cold altogether, and it was sort of, you know, nobody could find the basket. I think it said a lot that one of the baskets that Penn State scored that wasn't in transition in the first half was when they put Peyton Banks out there, a guy who hasn't gotten a lot of minutes, and he sort of takes that opportunity to get a little jumper, and he puts it in. As that kind of confidence that you really just didn't see from Penn State. And even, you know, even the shots that DJ made in the end of that game were the kinds of shots that, you know, could have gone either way, and he just sort of muscled them in. So I think it's one of those games, and you heard it from the team yesterday, you heard it from Pat yesterday, that really, you know, everybody's missing shots. You know, it's like watching somebody miss a free throw, and you see teams go on these free throw droughts where everybody's missing. It was sort of the same thing, just from the field this time.
Right. And that's a good analogy. All right. The teams that started with two in a row on the road all didn't fare well, did they?
Yeah, I mean, they've all, you know, everybody sort of struggled a little bit. It's kind of interesting. The Big Ten this year is sort of eating itself early, you know, kind of like it has in years past, and sort of like it has in the non-conference slate this year. So, you know, Penn State's certainly not out of the mix for where they want to be, but, you know, games like tonight, you know, against a Michigan team that's 1-1, certainly, you know, sort of amps up that importance.
All right, Michigan coming up tonight. They've also had some moments where they've been up and down offensively. Zach Ervin has been a little bit up and down. Caris LeVert's been a little bit up and down. They're great talents. And Derek Walton, what are your thoughts on the Wolverines?
Yeah, I think they're an interesting team to watch because, like you said, they have a lot of up and down moments. You know, that we've seen them, you know, really jump on Bucknell early in the year, only lose to Villanova by 5. You know, beat Syracuse. You know, Syracuse is not as good per se as Syracuse has been, but then to turn that around, lose 4 straight. You know, to NJIT, a team that we've seen play Penn State a few years ago, lose to Eastern Michigan and SMU, and you know, SMU's got Larry Brown, so that's never going to be easy. But I think that you've seen these guys, you know, at moments play as good as their talent suggests they are, and at other times play sort of like a team that is, you know, still trying to find itself. And maybe people, to a certain extent, think of Michigan as the team it was a few years ago, not so much the team that it is right now. So I think those kinds of teams are sometimes the most dangerous because you never know what you're going to get. You might look at the schedule and say, well, they lost to NJIT, so Penn State's got an easy one tonight. But I think at the same time, you see, you know, how they've played in some of these other games, and you never really know what you're going to get. So that can be a dangerous game to play, to assume that, you know, Michigan's going to play poorly or that they're going to play well. So Penn State really just has to go out and try and do what they've tried to do all year and have had, you know, outside of the last game and the second half against Wisconsin, have been pretty successful doing.
This is only my opinion, so if you disagree with it, Ben, just chime right in and disagree with it, then. But I'm of the opinion that in Pat's first 2.5 years, maybe slightly more than that, that in order to win some of these games, they needed the other guy to help them. I'm of the opinion now that if Penn State plays well in games like this, that they'll win the game.
I
don't know how you feel about that, but that's how my thinking has evolved. I don't know if yours has changed at all.
No, I think that's absolutely correct. I told Pat something early in the year that it seemed like for the first time that he was able to actually just play basketball with these guys and sort of let them, you know, do their thing. And I think, you know, the first year is always going to be tough. It was even tougher with the kind of roster situation that they had. Then to have Tim get hurt and really just sort of ask a team that wasn't ready to be without Tim, play without Tim. And then, you know, last year there were ups and downs, but I think you sort of see this past season and this season, Penn State's playing a lot more, you know, there's a lot more ball movement, there's a lot more confidence, there's a lot more, you know, shots just simply being made. I think we've seen talented players come through here, but the, you know, the shots have just not fallen, and especially last year when they lose all those games by 5 or fewer points, you know, you make a few free throws, you make a few layups, and those games go a different direction. And I think it's telling because Pat said yesterday at his interviews that, you know, there were moments where they engineered points where the staff called these plays, but normally, you know, he's just letting these guys go out and play the game. And I think, you know, some people who are maybe used to watching the Villanovas and Syracuses of the world are just sort of assume that's what happens. But I think for Penn State, to get to the point where, you know, Pat can just sort of be hands-off a little bit, kind of guide them at times and just let these guys go out and play and have them being successful doing it is a big change from where he started out a few years ago.
That's a very good observation. Any read, Ben, on what you think of the Big Ten so far, or is it too early to get a read?
I think it's always early because I think you look at teams like Nebraska last year, who I believe they started 0-4 in the conference and ended up going on that run that they had. You know, they're 0-2 right now. I think it's clear that Wisconsin is the best team in the league. I think Maryland playing Wisconsin will be a fun matchup to watch when that finally happens. I think that the rest of the league is sort of be determined. I think Michigan State, like you saw last night, can be a really good team. I think Ohio State has got the pieces to be a really good team. And, you know, the rest of the conference is sort of up and down. I think, you know, Iowa is in there in that mix of the upper half. And the Michigan, if Michigan figures it out, they can be good. Minnesota has talent and has started out 0-2. Illinois has got some talent and started out 0-2. So, you know, there's a lot of games to be played. I think it's funny that, you know, you can see Penn State basketball fans be really excited about the start that they had, and then you lose two games, and it's like, well, you got to fold the program. It's all over now. And I think, you know, there's no doubt that the road to a tournament berth is harder losing to Rutgers. But I think that if you look across the Big Ten, there's a lot of teams that have gone up and down, a lot of teams that have struggled. And if Penn State just sort of stays the course and plays the kind of game that they know that they can play, there's no reason that, you know, they can't be in that mix in the middle half of the pack as well. Even if you just consider the fact that the last team that made the tournament lost to Maine, and Rutgers, you know, all due respect to Maine, is not as bad as Maine was. So I think, you know, it's important to sort of take this all one game at a time.
In fact, Rutgers is 66 in the RPI right now, which I don't think a lot of people realize. When you look at Maryland's the surprise team to me, and the only reason they're a surprise team to me, Ben, is with the five transfers out in the offseason and then the new mix, I just didn't know how it would come together, and obviously it's come together really well for Mark Turgeon.
Yeah, I mean, that was exactly the same thought that I had, that, you know, you have, anytime that you have that kind of turnover and you have that much change, just to get the chemistry together and figure things out, that just takes time, and we've seen that here, we've seen that in other places. But to their credit, you know, to go into East Lansing and to come away with a victory, it doesn't matter what kind of Michigan State team is playing there, that's always a tough place to win. I think, you know, for maybe me more than anyone else, and maybe you can appreciate this well, to see, you know, John Graham making important baskets in overtime in East Lansing for a top 15 team is probably one of the most incredible things I've seen this year. And, you know, he's a great guy and everything, but I don't know if anybody ever foresaw, you know, that projecting out the way that it did. But certainly, you know, Maryland has been, you know, highly ranked all year and has certainly looked the part moving forward, because sometimes you see these games kind of like Michigan where they start out ranked just because, and it doesn't really back up. But I think Maryland is living up to their billing so far.
I'm happy for John Graham. He is a great guy. I like John a lot. It's interesting for John Graham and Evan Samotrich. They're back in the Big Ten. That's the, and Evan, of course, had been at Michigan before transferring to Maryland. Penn State football. Everyone knows, of course, the transfers. Not the transfers. The NFL entries. Jesse James, Deion Barnes, and Donovan Smith. Any surprises to you there?
I think they all make sense. You never know for sure who's going to go. I think Deion Barnes is probably the most upfront about it after the bowl game. I think, you know, Donovan Smith, it makes sense. And Jesse James, you know, his size and his hands aren't going to get any bigger or better, really, between now and the end of next year. You know, you can say that maybe James can get a little bit better at blocking, but that's something you can work on in the league as well as you can work on in college. So I think, you know, Penn State would obviously love to have all those guys back next year for the kinds of things they bring to the table. But I think ultimately you consider how long they've all been at Penn State, the number of coaches they've been through. I think when you finally, at least for two of them, have gotten your degree and have the opportunity to go to the NFL, that it's hard to say no. And I think, you know, I don't know that any of them are going to see their draft stock change so dramatically between now and next year that, you know, it's not like Donovan Smith's going to become a second-round guy or first-round guy over the course of one season. So I think, you know, they saw the opportunity to talk to their families and people in their camps and decided that was the decision that they're going to make, and it's really hard to blame them for it.
And that's the other part that I think has to be factored in. They sat there and they talked to their families. They all come from different family backgrounds, and some have greater needs than others.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at Deion Barnes, I believe his dad works as a, I'm not 100% on what his employment status is, so I don't want to give him a job that he doesn't have. But,
sure.
You know, obviously there are guys that, you know, you want to be able to help out your family the best you can and get into the NFL, even if you get that, just that rookie signing bonus. You know, that's the kind of thing where you can go, hey, let's improve your apartment, let's improve your car, let's, you know, give back a little bit. And I think, you know, it's hard to look at that and say, you know, I want to stay in school for another year instead of going and helping my family.
Between now and January 15th, anybody else on your watch list that you're waiting to see whether they go or not?
Well, I think Zettel is obviously a guy you want to keep an eye on. And I think Kyle Carter, you know, kind of made sense as someone you might keep an eye on. But Penn State's included Carter as their return, you know, someone in the returning group of tight ends for the next season. So it certainly seems like they're expecting him to stick around. But, you know, you never know. There's a lot of guys who are eligible and a lot of guys that have big decisions to make. It was funny when you said transfers at first, because I was like, oh, Steve knows something that I don't. But,
no.
You know,
no.
We're all waiting for, you know, for Christian Hackenberg to go to Syracuse this offseason. So.
It's not April Fool's. You can't do that to the fans, Ben.
That's fair. Once a year.
It's not April 1. You can't do that to the fans.
Today is the Syracuse coach's birthday, Schaefer's birthday.
Yeah. So, see, there you go.
It would have been a fitting present.
I'm really happy for him.
I know.
I just want to pass on my best wishes to him and good luck in the ACC. Ben, thanks so much. Appreciate the time, as always.
Thanks for having me, Steve. I'll see you tonight.
Okay, Ben. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. I will see him tonight at the Bryce Jordan Center, where Penn State will take on Michigan this evening. We will come back with the Kevin Herr analysis, as only he can deliver it, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and at 800-795-9565, we bring in Dick from Milton. Hi, Dick.
Hey, Steve. Hey, just haven't been on for a while. I just wanted to ask Kevin this question. He gets he doesn't pay for athletic contests for 20 years. He gets free transportation from Sunbury Ford. What is it you do with your money?
That's spend
a
it
very
on
food. Good question.
I used to spend it on food, but I don't even do that anymore. So,
but that's a sizable amount of money in a year's time. I don't know how your deal with Sunbury Ford or how that is, but boy, just on athletic contests alone can be sizable, I guess. Anyhow, that was my question
well,
there.
Dick,
anyhow, we have another good show for you, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's exactly right. And I also think it's something the IRS has become very interested in. What is Kevin doing with all of his money?
I didn't want to go there.
You're assuming I get paid to do the show. That's an assumption. I actually volunteer, so.
I didn't know that. I just assumed that you were one of those high-paid audio broadcasting type guys.
Right.
Dick, that was a lie.
Anyhow, well, good luck to the Nittany Lions tonight, Steve. Thanks.
Dick, thanks. Hey, thanks for chiming in.
I like to call it an exaggeration.
5-5-6-5. What?
I wouldn't call it a line, just an exaggeration.
No, what you said was a flat-out bald face lie. You get paid. You know, Sunbury Motors loves you. What the heck? You know, you're driving around their vehicles, talking about them, you know. Talking about your heated seat. I thought that got a little too racy for me. But
listen, I'll tell you what. I wish I had one right now. It is chilly out. Actually, it's downright cold now.
Well, then build a fire in the studio. Harry won't mind. Roger might. Harry won't.
I'm not sure that's a great career move. I'm just thinking.
Darn. You know, Buhner and I had this plan. And
I'm
now,
sure you did.
It's hard to outthink you. 800-795-9565 is our number to call. Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz. Girardi called. I'll call Girardi back in a minute. There's a little Big Ten issue tonight.
Well, he may not be your partner tonight. Yeah, you don't know.
He might not be. I did volunteer him to do the game if Stephen Bardo could not make it tonight to work with Kevin Kugler.
So I can hear it all now. Together. Yo, did you volunteer me for something, man?
No, Dick. I've already talked to him about this.
Oh, okay.
Dick. This happened one time. There was a snowstorm here, and the ESPN guys, and I can't remember which ones, I think Bardo was actually one of them, could not make it in, or at least they didn't think they could, or they're going to be late, something. So they grabbed another play-by-play guy, and they took Dick. And so I was working the game alone upstairs, and that's the pregame. So typical Dick, they do the open, and he takes the telestrator. And he draws three circles together. He goes, "This is a snowman." Well, then the other guys show up. And so they do the broadcast. And then Dick comes up back upstairs. And I looked over. And this, and you know me. This is how I brought him back into the broadcast. I said, "So, they got rid of you already, did they?" I looked over and said, "I knew you'd come crawling back."
Was it a basketball game? Oh, I might have been about 5 or 6 years ago now, where the referees the officials were actually 3 hours late or something, trying to come in from Philly,
Wisconsin.
Well, I mean, trying to come from Philly to State College.
And I'm on the air filling. I'm like, what am I doing here? Yeah. And so we're talking to Phil, the usher. Phil, tell us exactly how much garbage is put in the aisles and how much do you have to clean up when the game is over?
I came up with the concept of the national championship tournament. I came up with the playoff concept.
Okay. No offense. Larry Culpepper's got to go away.
I like Larry Culpepper.
Got to go.
The selfie thing was really good.
Got to go. Actually, the security guard's funnier. I can see you, Larry. Got to go.
I just like it when he smashes the poor guy's lunch.
Gotta go. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, Auto Home Life Business Insurance. If service or price means something to you, means everything to them. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. And from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.